Isn't that your other job?
Salsa, you have two jobs.
And recording games is definitely one of them.
Right?
Oh, fuck. No, as we now know, I have three jobs.
Oh.
That's fair.
The first one is surprise. Surprise and cunning and an almost fanatical devotion to hockey.
And the ability to control the weather, thank you very much.
We've got to start. Say it again. Nobody expects the Salsa Inquisition.
Greetings, Apropos-y, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa.
And Jenna. Oh, it's a good thing we find ourselves in this,
because nobody else does.
I don't know that anybody else is going to, so I'm glad we do.
What are we drinking? What are we drinking today?
Long story, but slight story.
Medium length story.
I don't know if you guys knew, but yesterday was a global holiday, if you will.
Ooh.
Yesterday was Pi Day.
Yes.
Well, no, and, it would be an American holiday, because in other countries they start with the day.
That's true. That's true. No.
Well, and
no,
plus true. They have the metric system, so.
That doesn't change.
God damn it, James.
It's still the same, whether it's a ratio, for fuck's sake. That has nothing to do.
No,
he's so mad about this.
They're still using a decimal. Don't you fuck with Pi Day, okay, James?
Salsa, no. I want to watch James calculate pi into metric.
No. I want it into hex. James, yes. Pi to hexadecimal. Yeah. Go.
Yeah, it's point AF16. That's
only if you're rounding up, James.
I mean.
Apparently, it's a real number in hex.
Oh God. Okay. So anyway.
What is going on?
So what are you drinking, Jenna?
Yesterday was Friday. In America, mine is in the metric system.
Oh, all right.
So I ordered a pizza. From Pizza Luce.
All right.
What?
Tell me what? More.
So I ordered myself a pizza pie from Pizza Luce on Friday.
Okay.
And what Luce started doing, because Luce is a restaurant, number one, they have dairy-free cheese options, which is why I order my pizza from Luce.
Awesome.
Duh. So I got all of the not cheese on my pizza. But then also, Luce also serves drinks.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the great state of Minnesota, you can't just order cocktails to be delivered to you.
It's a great travesty.
I don't remember if I know they were talking about changing that. I don't know if they did or didn't. But but what Luce did when pandemic hit was they came up with it's a cocktail mix where it's the stuff that you put into your booze.
Mm-hmm.
It's all
sure.
mixers. But without the booze, and then you just add booze, and then you have booze.
Nice.
So this particular mix is called Formula 45. And it is peach juice with mint and something else. I don't remember exactly. So I took this lovely peach mango dilibab.
Mm-hmm.
And I mixed in some McNeil California Sparkling Rosé. So I've got something that's a combination between a mojito and a peach mimosa, I guess. Sure. I don't know. Somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And it is the most delightful thing I have done in ages.
Hmm. Wonderful.
So, yeah. I am really Formula 45. If anyone wants to give me some peach mango or some peach mint mix.
Is that anything like a French 75?
I don't know what a French 75 is, but sure, why not?
I think it's a champagne cocktail.
Oh. If it is, then my sparkling rosé may have been the right call for this.
Yeah, we drank it way back in the early days of the Drink of the Week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never paid attention.
Yeah. In the early days.
Oh, this is a long time ago.
And you know, before Salsa's kids were born.
Oh, God. Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
There was a time when Salsa didn't have kids, wasn't it?
Huh. Let me see. French 75 is lemon, gin, simple syrup, and champagne.
Sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
There's too much gin in that drink for me. But, yeah. Still. Anyway, so that's what I'm having.
Mm-hmm.
And it is delightful, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Very nice.
James, what are you drinking?
My chiropractor is right next to Hum's Liquor.
Oh.
So, I go to get adjusted, and then...
Then you get adjusted.
Right. Yeah. And one of the things they have there are beers from Boom Island Brewery, which is in Minnetonka, Minnesota. And they have a Mexican chocolate porter that is, like, it looks spectacular. And it smells gorgeous. And we're going to give this a shot here. I've had a couple of their beers, and I don't remember if I've had this one, but that's how good they were. I have no memory of these events. But this is quite tasty. It really does just taste like dark chocolate. I'm sure that Jenna would be able to pick up the hops, but...
Well, yeah.
But yeah, this is nice. It's got... it's got the chocolate bitterness and not the, beer bitterness. Not the afterbite.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. Cool.
Got a tiny amount of heat to it. Cool. Which I really like.
All right. I am doing my last crowler from my little vacation away from home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking Reed's Landing Buckskin Brown.
Ah.
So.
And
how is it?
How does this taste?
Yeah.
Brown.
That looks gorgeous. Like, that looks fucking
amazing. Yeah, it's got a
amazing.
Really nice dark color.
Yeah, it looks brown.
It's good. It's got a good grain flavor to it. Yeah, I would definitely drink that again.
Hmm. Too bad you went through the whole thing in that one sip.
Yep. Okay. Are you need to find another?
Are you good? Are you good?
It was tasty. What can I say? All right.
That's fair.
So, what's everybody been up to? I've been controlling the weather. That's what I've been doing.
That is what I've heard about you.
Yeah, people of the podcast.
So, here in Minnesota...
yeah.
It snowed today.
Yep. Cause,
yes, it did.
Because it was 70 last week, so why the fuck wouldn't it snow today?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. This is second of three winters.
Yes, we're on second winter.
No, I think this is third winter.
This is third winter?
I might be in denial,
oh,
but I think...
You know, I think you're right, because I think we had that early yeah. winter.
We had just a little bump.
Beautiful weather.
Yep.
For a month.
Yep.
And then...
Yeah, no, I think this is third
snow.
Winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
So anyway, it snowed. Huh? and Jenna posted on Facebook that this was all my fault.
Yes.
She's not wrong.
And that right. opened a floodgate. Like, throughout the course of the day, various people chimed in to tell me that this was my fault.
Yes.
Hmm?
And then it just became a thing, like, one of our friends who's more of the cynical type was like, just so you know, this wasn't your fault. And then other people brought science in it to refute him as to exactly why it was my fault. It became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was mm-hmm. ridiculous and gold, and it was...
It was the distraction we needed.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It was beautiful. Oh, buddy. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
And so now there's a picture of Salsa controlling the weather on yes. the internet.
If mm-hmm. people are going to blame me for the beautiful weather outside, then I'm okay with it.
Beautiful. I mean, it is pretty. I can't argue with how pretty it is, and I'm just glad I don't have anywhere to be.
Yeah. I had
or
to go get
any.
Shit.
I had to go get my kids in this.
Right, but for you, that's... an opportunity.
It was actually no, but it
and
was
not a problem.
but it was quite slippery outside.
That's where they keep it.
Yep. What? They keep slipperiness outside? I'm pretty sure I can find
snow.
Slipperiness inside.
They keep snow outside.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't say snow. I said it was slippery outside.
Because of the snow.
Right, and snow is slippery.
Okay, but that's. Right. But you're making an assumption. That's what I was talking about, James.
No.
You use
I believe it is scientifically proven that snow reduces surface friction.
You used a pronoun to reference something that was not explicitly discussed. That's a no-no. I said it is slippery outside, and you said that's where they keep it. And that since I did, I will talk to my English teacher wife will tell you that that is terrible what you just did.
Oh,
not
shit.
Acceptable.
Oh, dude.
See, but
done?
The thing is, the difference
no,
between
no, no,
you
no, no,
and Raiderly is.
Stop talking, English teacher wife.
Don't
English
talk
teacher,
with Raiderly.
Stop.
No, I was going to say, the difference between you and Raiderly is that I will accept criticism from Raiderly and not from you.
Okay, that's fair.
This isn't criticism, James. This is knowledge bombs.
I think your knowledge bomb is a dud, Salsa.
What else have you been up to?
Aside from controlling the weather?
Aside from controlling the weather.
I mean, honestly, that should be enough.
I taking care of my wife. She got my wife got surgery done on Wednesday last week. Very suddenly. She discovered that she had a cracked tooth. And when she when she went to the dentist, found out that it was one of her wisdom teeth. So then,
oh no!
Yeah, so she went in to have her wisdom teeth pulled out. And while they were there, they just did all of them. Now, one of them either wasn't there or hadn't, I don't know, wasn't a problem.
Sure.
But they, yeah, so they, but they took three of them out.
Oh.
Yeah, so she started with a cracked tooth, like, last week, Monday, I want to say, and next thing you know, she's in surgery with no wisdom teeth, and so she has been...
Also minus that tooth.
Yeah, so she has been fairly miserable, the past few days, bedridden with all the best drugs coursing through her, and, I have been caring for her, and she's been a trooper, but
yeah,
that's been a lot.
I had a very similar thing happen to me where I had the impacted tooth, except that it was two impacted teeth.
Yeah.
And they removed all four molars plus my two cracked teeth.
Mm.
All at the same time.
See, when I got my jaw surgery done, I had two surgeries. So there was the surgery to lengthen my jaw, because I had a massive overbite when I was younger. So they had to lengthen my jaw. So, but before they could do the surgery to lengthen my jaw, they had to take out the wisdom teeth, because where the wisdom teeth are, that's where the cut was going to be in my jaw.
Yeah.
And so what they had to do is they had to remove the molars, let that heal, and then they could do the surgery so that they had a stable.
Wow.
I've got three titanium screws on each side in my jaw right now.
Wow.
But so I got all four of my wisdom teeth taken out, and all four of them were impacted. So I was really fucking laid out, and this was like my freshman year of college, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So
this makes sense. Yeah.
So I sympathize entirely with what she's going through. It's
That was going to be the capper on this. Capper. is that that fucking sucks, and good on you for taking care of that.
So anyway, that's what I've been doing.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah. James, what have you been up to?
Couple of things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to tell us about them?
Yeah, maybe. I purchased a new laptop to replace the one that I received from a friend in 2013. It has been like a steady and constant friend and companion for all of my internettings and some of my video gamings. Much of the podcastings.
Question.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. That laptop, what model was it?
It is a MacBook Pro Retina 2012. No part of it can be upgraded, unfortunately.
Right. No, I understand. My question was because, like, I was like, okay, this sounds like it's a Mac. And because although we give Mac a lot of shit for being those people, their products do tend to last, like, 7 to 10 years. So, so I was just confirming a theory is what it was. I wasn't about to tell you how to fix your computer or anything like that.
They last forever because they don't actually do anything.
He's a sweet boy, that's also. That is the notebook that I used for
my Formula 45. All
over. Then she'll have to get a Formula 409 to clean it up.
Well, you know how you try to hold back so that you don't spit something out, and then like you pull a muscle in your jaw, like right underneath your ear.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's totally what I did.
Yeah.
So this is you.
That sucks.
That's cool.
I've been doing research for about 2 months now, to replace it, and then got a bonus from work and paid off my student loans. Ooh. And a couple of cards.
Yay!
And had some money left over to get a laptop.
Fantastic.
And so that's what I did. And I'm really pleased with the one that I stumbled over, because one of Bryn's friends was looking for a laptop and was like, "What do you think of this one?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's a really good price for what looks to be a really reliable, solid piece of art. I'm gonna buy that right now." I'm gonna do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want that? No, too late. Sorry.
Gone. Fucking. It was the only one. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I'm assuming there were more.
you know what? No, that looks like that looks like a pretty shitty computer. You probably shouldn't buy it. Bye.
But I did some looking into it, and then went to kind of an old reliable site because I was trying to avoid buying it on Amazon.
Yep.
Because it's Amazon, right?
You're here.
I put
all my computer stuff through Newegg.
So here's the hard part, is that I went through Newegg, and I had an experience that I will not repeat.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I've never... 15 years.
I used to buy... Yeah, the thing is, I used to buy chips. I used to buy boards.
I need to hear the gossip. What happened?
What was your experience?
I'm derailing your story. I don't care. What happened?
I went to check out this laptop, and it came with a couple of extra things, like a sizable gift card for a meal delivery service that I use. It had a fancy backpack designed to let you plug stuff into it while it was in the backpack and everything like that. Like, it's kind of has a million pockets, which... you know, I'm all about. And so I was like, cool, this is pretty fucking cool. I'm going to do this. I want it delivered to an Amazon locker, because we just recently had some groceries stolen off of our doorsteps. So, and I like the neighborhood that I'm in. I'm not intent to leave, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it here, but I think somebody needed fruits and vegetables, and that,
okay.
I accept that, you know, but it also just makes me a little cautious about having expensive hardware out there, you should be anywhere. Because my mom was like, "Well, that's where you live," and I was like, "Well, porch pirates are a thing in suburbia too." Mm-hmm. People really shouldn't feel too comfortable about it anywhere.
Yeah, but do you know whose fault that is? Not the person that lives there.
Right. Also that. Went to check out and that kind of stuff. I tried to pick the correct options, and afterward, the only way that they would let me pay with the payment options that I could use was to remove the gift card that I wanted, and then I couldn't use an Amazon locker. So after I checked out with it, everything like that, I contacted customer support, and I was like, "Hey, just to let you know, I had kind of a bad experience with with the checkout, and I was wondering if you could help me to figure out what to do about this." Mm-hmm. And also, can you tell me about about the shipping? You know, are they going to call? Will they leave a tag instead of just dropping it on the doorstep? That kind of stuff. And I had an absolutely terrible customer service rep.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Which I understand, you know, maybe it was a bad day. Maybe it's this person's first day on the job, which is
maybe
the same.
Maybe it's just that particular individual.
Maybe it is. Like, I've met people who can't do that.
I'm sitting right here, James.
I've met people. the situation was being made worse by this representative. And I was like, I understand that you're trying to help. I appreciate you trying to help. Right now, this is making me more nervous than I was. This is the specific question that I'm asking, because as soon as I mentioned shipping, this guy, Scott, said,
Scott.
Right. said,
I've only met one Scott that I like.
We haven't processed your order yet.
Here, so it's fine.
And we will only process it on Monday because it's the first business day. So you'll have to be patient and just wait for it to arrive. And I was like, that has nothing to do with the question that I asked you. And is kind of not a great thing to say to your right. customer the way that you right so yeah I was like this is
James if you could just be patient
right
and just wait for everything to get fucked up before you try to fix it that would right. be great.
So I said I need to know two things. Are they going to try to contact me? Are they going to leave it if they can't, or are they going to leave a tag? And the final thing is it guaranteed or insured? Right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because if somebody steals it and it's insured, that's less of a problem.
Right, yes.
Yeah. But the 10 minutes later, the guy comes back and he goes, yeah, they'll check and make sure that it's safe to leave it there. Otherwise, after they leave it, they'll call you. And I was like,
that's not the same thing.
How do I make sure that it requires a signature? Is there anything I can do? And he's like, oh yeah, there's a box. There wasn't a box. There's a box next to the checkout options for the shipping that you have to select to require, a signature. And I said, okay, well, be that as it may, how do we fix that right now? And he says, you have to cancel out your order and re-ring it. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, so you have no ability to make that small adjustment to the shipping. You're not changing the address. It's not going to change the amount of money on it. It's not going to – you're just asking that they get a signature before leaving it. And he's like, nope, you have to re-ring it. Sorry, that's just the way that it is. Okay. Then I have to go through the process of the checkout and everything like that. All right. Okay. Maybe that's what I have to do, but, how soon will the money for the laptop come back to my account now that it's checked out? So that I'm not paying for it twice and waiting for one of the payments to come back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
3 to 5 business days. So you're telling me that the hardware would arrive before my refund. You would be able to pack and ship a piece of equipment to me with the correct shipping, apparently, before the money could be put back into my account. So instead of however much I spent on it, I'm going to be spending twice that much. Just and he's like, yep, sorry, that's the way that it is. Nothing I can do about it. And I was like, I appreciate you telling me how it is. I appreciate your time. This has not been a good customer service experience for me. And I think I'm going to look for that laptop somewhere else.
In that circumstance, like for me, when I get a shitty customer service experience, number one, I probably would have stopped that call halfway through. Mm. 'Cause Joe seems to think I'm a patient person, but he's incorrect. I just would have accepted that this individual can't help me and stopped it halfway. Mm-hmm. And then I would have called back and hopefully gotten somebody else to see what they said. Right? Because it kind of sounds like this asshole Scott was an asshole with the name of Scott, which, like I said, surprises me none at all. So, yeah. or, And I realize I'm a white chick that almost lives in suburbia, but I totally would have Karen'd that shit and asked to speak to a I have no problems with that at all.
I strongly considered it several times, but
You need more Karen.
Maybe.
James, I need to get you more Karen.
I've been on the other end of the phone, and
I have too.
Yeah.
We all have. And
so we know what shitty service is.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
All three of us have worked at least one, if not multiple. We've all worked multiple help desks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then I talked to my friends about the
one of the same companies, and that help desk was shit too. I don't care what name that company was under. It was still a shitty help desk experience.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get that. But I also feel like having that help desk experience, having been on the other line, if somebody is legitimately being a dick, I have the background to go, oh, hey, that's not how I would handle this phone call because I'm not an asshole. So I'm going to go talk to somebody that's not an asshole. And probably that means this person's manager.
Well, on the plus side, I did get a survey.
Ooh.
So there's that. And I also filled out they have a formal complaint thing that you can fill out. And somebody emailed me back and was like, oh, tell me about the problem that you're having. And I was like,
hold on to your butts.
But when I discussed this with some other folks, the people that I had been talking to about which laptop I was considering and all that kind of stuff, they were like, yeah, we've been having really bad experiences lately after they bought Tiger Direct.
When did that happen?
I am not sure, but I think it was within the last 5 years.
Okay, because Jess and I used Newegg a year ago.
Yeah.
We used them a year ago, and everything was fine. We also didn't need to talk to customer service. So,
sure.
We just bought things on Newegg, and they went, here's the amount of money. And I said, that is what I expected that amount of money to be. And then we received the items, and that was it.
Yeah. And so, the thing is, if everything had gone to plan on the first attempt, I would never have known. I would never have met Scott.
Oh, Scott!
Right.
Scott!
I had a real bad experience with them, and I ended up having to, because the only other retailer that I could find that had this specific model was Amazon. I had to order it through Amazon.
But then,
you know, that also allowed me to get some other bits and pieces that I want for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So not the worst thing, but just like, I don't know, first world problems.
You had to take a little Pepto-Bismol to get rid of that feeling in your stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and the amazing thing was, like, as much as we malign the way that Amazon is run, because it's bad, as much as we have sincere concerns about how their business operates in other areas and that kind of, their shipping is fucking on point.
Absolutely.
When I went to check out, it was like, oh, it looks like you have some items that can't be shipped together to a locker. Yeah. So we've automatically marked this high priced item to be signature only. It is insured. These are the dates that everything will arrive. Are these addresses okay for each of the pieces?
Yep.
And I picked it out, and it was like, how do you want to pay? I want to pay with, like, these three things. Great. Great. Yeah, because they're getting me my refund for my Newegg purchase. And so, yeah.
Yep.
I'll be glad when I get that.
Right.
But yeah, no, like their shipping game is fucking on top of things. There's a reason that they've become a massive corporation. Yeah.
For however they handle things on the back end, that front end experience is smooth as fuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I've never had a bad experience. Like, again, front end. Mm-hmm. And then I heard about my friend that, like, basically had to go into work sick because they didn't have any other options. And I'm like, ah, son of a bitch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just be nice to your employees. That's the only thing that's actually holding me back.
They can afford it, and they should.
Yeah.
And they should.
Mm-hmm.
And if they just did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah. Ranty. Anything else, James?
It's an ongoing project, so I'll talk about it when I'm closer to being done with it.
Ongoing project.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, well, then.
Feel like taking a break? I'm going to refresh my beverage.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Okay, we can do
salsa?
That.
Salsa?
Yeah.
Salsa feelings?
Do you want to take a break? Salsa?
Well, you know, I do have the power. Apparently, I have superpowers, so...
No, I told Mark to take those away from you after your last thing.
No, he told you that you're the one who opened that can of worms.
If there is anything that Mark Lazarchuk is not going to do, it's to legislate away someone's freedoms.
But he did try to do it, and then I stood up for Salsa, and now he's just being a power-hungry dick about the whole thing.
Oh, that's weird.
Never contradict Mark Lazarchuk. I have learned it now.
We're going to take a break.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
All right. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna. Hey, you guys.
What have you been doing?
James, do you hear someone talking?
Oh, fuck off. Piss off, white dude. piss off, cishet white dude. I've been making soap. And I've been getting some really cool reactions from my soap. Oh my god. So I talked, listeners, I talked to you guys last time about making my little, massage bar soaps with the little nubbins, which confused Salsa, but it was delightful. They don't vibrate unless you vibrate them, like, with your hands or something. I don't know.
So they vibrate.
No, they don't.
She did leave that door open.
You're the one that said... Anyway, I've still been working on melt and pour. I feel like I'm not going to really start working on cold process for another month or so. And even though, like, everything in my being wants me to keep pushing and doing that, I know that I need to master a bunch of melt and pour first before I do that. So I've been working with melt and pour. Which is where you have the soap base and you melt it and then you reshape it, right? I'm not doing any saponification. I'm just reshaping, coloring, whatever soap. But one of the ideas that I had was to work with, different shaped molds, right? Like that's every soap maker. But I thought, wouldn't it be fun if I got some other molds, that were not necessarily marketed as soap molds, but were still able to do soap stuff, like, chemically, technically handle it. So I started researching this. It's not research because I didn't do a paper on it or anything, but I looked a bunch of stuff up And I started finding things like molds for resin work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Resin work can come in a wide variety of things. But some of the molds that I started finding were for resin work that I was like, wait a minute. I bet I could do some melt and pour into this resin mold and come out with soap that looks like this thing. And I started finding, I think the first one that I found was for dominoes. Like just the little domino.
Oh, yeah.
Not the pizza.
Not the pizza. I can't have cheese. That's why you order from Luce. Formula 45. So, but I got a silicone mold for making your own domino set out of resin, right? But instead of using resin, I used melt and pour soap.
Yeah.
And I am a fucking genius, is what it comes down to. Because I poured this soap into these domino molds. And like I did some coloring and stuff. I still haven't done a lot of playing with fragrance ever since my first attempt.
Mm-hmm.
But I played with some coloring and I poured a bunch of this melt and pour liquid soap stuff into some of these domino resin molds. And a couple hours later, because that's all it takes for melt and pour to hold a shape, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially at that size. A
couple hours later.
Ideally, yeah.
Yeah, and it's super thin, too. Right, you're right. Like, that takes even less time. A couple hours later, I pop these things out, and they look like fucking dominoes. So now I have soap that looks like dominoes. Like, you could, if I'd actually finished out the set, you could play dominoes with my soap.
And that sentence has never been spoken before, ever.
Yeah, that is a brand new sentence, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
I'm here for it, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's so cool. No, I pop these out, and I can share some pictures. For those that haven't seen them, because I've put them everywhere. And then I'd gotten some molds that were for like game controllers. And I knew they weren't the same size as game controllers. I thought they were 4 inches by 2 inches.
Okay.
Which is it's a good soap size, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's an acceptable soap size. No. The mold itself has 4 different controller divots in a 2x4 mold. So now I've got a bunch of 1 inch by 1.5 inch controllers.
Cute.
They're like
they are adorable.
They're like single use.
They really are. They're super adorable. If you have somebody over for the weekend, you can get these little adorable soaps.
If you ever have a bed and breakfast,
that's a cute idea.
That would be fantastic to have those little soaps.
Oh, that would be perfect for handing out at gaming conventions.
Yes. Oh.
To people who smell bad.
but yeah. So anyway, so I made some of those, and I did a bunch of gray with my liquid coloring because liquid coloring is really best for melt and pour. But it was my first time playing with cosmetic mica so that I could get a little bit of shimmer in there.
Oh, sure.
A slightly metallic-y look. And I am really pleased with my coloring on those things because they kind of look like they're like pewter, actually.
Oh, wow.
But they're soaps. I was happy that the thing that I wanted to do with that coloring worked out really well.
Very cool.
But I also did some chess pieces in resin. And that I didn't even need to color because the soap base is white.
Yep.
so I was like, well, soap base, you're going in this mold. And those came out all right. I was pretty okay with those. I think because it's melt and pour, I think I can just kind of tuck it in a freezer for a little bit to get it harder because trying to pull the chess pieces out of that mold, like I was starting to come up against like some soap smushiness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it, ultimately it was fine. But it was still like, I just want to get these things out. Oh God. So I think I just need them to be firmer before I take them out. And I think popping them in a freezer for about 20 minutes before I try to take them out will help me at least get them out. And then they can re-solidify if they need. Like, that's fine.
What kind of... Like, I've played chess before with chocolate chess pieces where you eat the pieces as you kill them off. But, like, how would you... What would you do with soap chess pieces as you killed them off? Like,
you go and take a shower
every time. Like, long fucking game.
That is. However, if you were playing it, like over Zoom or something, like long distance with somebody, where you don't actually see them all the time, or like you're just doing like pen pal version, where you take a photo of the. And then you send it off, and then somebody takes a photo, and they're like, I took that piece.
Kind of like,
then you can just use that piece to shower
with. Like they used to do, like, in the Victorian newspapers, where they would do the, like, Rook 7 goes to
the chess problem. 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, no, people used to actually play games against other people via the newspaper.
I mean, not Salsa, because he hates other people, but...
I wasn't alive back then.
What?
Victorian.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just assume that Salsa is like a 400-year-old vampire, and that explains the crabbiness.
I thought it was Highlander. Like.
No.
No? Okay.
Yeah, I think it really defeats the point of cutting off someone's head if they're already putting a sword in there.
I mean, it would explain a lot.
It really would. There can be only one. Salsa is such a solitary guy, I just assume.
Also, you wouldn't really have to worry that much about life-ending wounds.
Carnatrix, yeah.
Yeah, like, what's going to happen? I mean, yeah, it might hurt, but then you just heal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, totally.
No, why am I arguing for this? It...
anyway. I made a bunch of soaps. I also tried some dice soaps, but I wasn't super happy with those. I'm going to try doing them in glycerin instead so that they have more of that translucent quality to them.
Okay.
Because they looked okay. Like, it definitely, like, the number imprints happened, which was fine because I did, like, a D&D set. Sure. But yeah, I didn't like the color, I didn't like the texture of them. I think glycerin might be the way to go for those.
You must report back on that.
Just to give them more of that clinky plastic or resin or whichever medium you're using.
I suppose with the soap they'd probably be pretty light.
Oh yeah. Well, you're not going to game with these.
Clearly no. Not, but yeah, they wouldn't have the same heft to them. That's for
right.
Sure.
Well, I just don't. I think that if you go to move them around, then they'll get too warm and get all like, sloppy.
You could have some really interesting games in the shower with a partner.
I was just thinking that
with soap dice.
Yeah, if you've got. If you've got tiles, little square tiles.
I have a story to tell you guys. This is a tangent.
All right, buckle up, everyone.
Did I talk about this last
Jenna
week?
Jenna apparently had a date like this once.
No, I did not. But because I'm on a bunch of soap-making forums, I learned about the existence of Yanni soap.
Yanni, like the new age musician Yanni?
No. Yanni, Y-O-N-I, as in associated with the vagina and surrounding parts.
Oh, sure.
There are things that exist, like stone Yanni eggs that apparently you can shove up your woo-ha for, like, I don't know, reasons.
For Kegels, or?
I guess, practice, energies, I don't even know, I don't know.
Okay.
My point is that I'm not shoving anything porous up into my wahoo.
No.
For so many reasons. But I was on the soap forum, and they were like, hey, I've started making Yanni soaps. And I was like, what? No. No. Don't make soaps to put up your vagina. Don't ever. Listen, people. People with vaginas. If you have a vagina, there is little to nothing you should be putting up there. It is a very finite list of things that you should be putting in your vagina. And soap, any kind of soap, almost any kind of soap is not on that list. Homemade hippie soap that smells like patchouli is not on that fucking list. And so they're talking about this Yanni soap that they made. And there were some people that were like, no, don't put soap in your vagina. And then, like, I felt like they were backpedaling, but maybe it's just what they meant. They're like, no, it's to be used, around, like, your vulva and your mound and everything. And I was like, okay. And somebody was like, yeah, I made some Yanni soap that was mentholated. And I was like, you did what? No.
Oh, that's exciting.
No. The tingle means it's working.
That's, yeah, that's how you know you're alive.
Oh, buddy, no. If I'm not going to put it in my eyeball, I am not putting it anywhere near my vagina.
I think that's a good rule to live by.
That is a way to get up in the morning and be ready for the day. Oh yeah, you would be up
and crying.
You would be alert.
Probably doubled over in pain. Yeah, don't. This is a public service announcement. Do not put mentholated anything between your labia flaps, up your vagina. Also, don't jerk off with anything mentholated.
No. Unless coffee's not doing it for you.
Okay, unless your salsa need to wake up in the morning, do not use mentholated anything. Don't use anything mentholated. Do not use cinnamon. Because that is not a thing that you should put anywhere in that area.
Gold Bond medicated powder. I was once told to use that for Fest. Because it keeps chafing.
Yeah.
Yeah, on your thighs, maybe.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. On between your legs specifically, between your thighs to keep the rubbing down and stuff.
Ball powder.
Yeah.
I mean,
spray it on your chode, basically. And I did that once and never again.
No.
Because it was, I was in so much pain I had to wash it off. It hurt so bad. I was like, I don't know who this person is, how this person is able to get away with this. Because he was all over. He was like, yeah, it feels great. You know, at the end of the day, I'm still dry and every, you know, I feel like I'm still fresh and stuff like that. I was like, all right, dude, I don't know how you're doing this, but
Nope. I will say, as a side note to your side note, on my side note, if you dry shampoo is basically cornstarch.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get dry shampoo that is not in any way medicated or has any kind of, like, the sensitive stuff, it's like the best spray-on powder ever.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Because it is literally made to be sprayed on. I did use, there was some mint tree tea oil dry shampoo that I got that I used on my feet during Fest.
Oh, last sure. Fest that we had. Yeah, I feel like that's a different thing.
My feet were amazing. It's just having that thin layer as opposed to getting those chunky whatevers of powder, the powder chunks.
I don't know what else comes, I've used the spray talc since, and that was fine.
believe that.
It was just like he very specifically was like, use the Gold Bond medicated stuff. I was like,
I've used Gold Bond. For me, it wasn't the it was the mentholated, like, extra fresh stuff in the blue. No, the blue stuff is for feet. The bright, like, amber colored bottle is the extra strength
yellow
stuff
or whatever. But anyway.
Yeah. But I've used that, and it's a little thrilling at first, admittedly. But I found my thrill on my Blue Balls Hill.
Okay, you and I are singing way different.
Yeah, I don't know.
We are that. Yeah. But I got used to it. But the problem for me was that it wore off really quickly.
Huh.
It didn't. I mean, it didn't stick around. It.
Well, you've got to reapply periodically.
Well, I was having to reapply like once an hour, and that's
fest, yeah. No, fest conditions are yeah. You definitely do need to keep reapplying.
What did last for me was antiperspirant.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I took antiperspirant. I had a stick specifically for the boys and thighs, and I would, before I got dressed for the booth, I would give the area a quick once over, and not only does it help to keep you from getting soaked with sweat there, but it also does an outstanding job of keeping you from getting chafed. So, yeah. So yeah,
the thing that really helped me was switching to, like, the Under Armour, like, wicking underwear.
Yeah.
Like the Under Armour bicycle shorts style underwear. Like, I started using those probably 10 years back, and those have helped immensely. My life is a lot better because I haven't used any spray talc or anything like that since I started using those.
Bryn bought a couple pair of underwear from a place called Tomboy X, which is just genderless underwear. Yeah. And they make genderless boxer briefs, sort of smaller extra briefs, and then longer ones that go down to like mid thigh. And she had bought the ones that go to mid thigh, and a pair of hers got mixed in with my underwear, and in the dark morning I just pulled stuff out of my underwear drawer and put them on, and realized about halfway through the day that I was incredibly comfortable. I plan on buying my underwear from two places, because there are two places that sell underwear that not only fits me, but I think is kind of flattering, and also is extraordinarily comfortable. Mm-hmm. Duluth Trading Company is one.
Yep. I got a couple pair from them, and they're fantastic.
The ones with the longer leg on it, those are amazing. Mm-hmm. And then the other ones are Tomboy X. They're extremely comfortable, and they do a good job of keeping me dry and happy and in the right places. Because boxers are fucking hell at fest. So, I'm excited to have a fest season with, I'm just going to buy like 15 pair of Tomboy X if I can, and then just like wash them very thoroughly.
I'm kind of with Salsa. I've done the wicking biker shorts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sure.
I think,
like, because I've always just done biker shorts, and then I found out they make them like extra wicking, and I was like, yes, please, I will take 4 pair of those just for the weekends.
The one thing that I'll say about those is when they wear out, replace them. Do not. Because I had one pair that one of the seams on the inside split open.
And right. Snapped was, like a guitar string.
No, there was about a dime size hole.
Sure.
And it was just whatever. It's a tiny hole in the, you know, these are still completely wearable. By the end of the day, that dime size spot was red. And it
yes.
hurt yep. so bad.
Oh, yeah. Of yeah. course.
Yeah, yeah.
It was awful. Those got thrown away that night.
Yeah. I would expect so.
So anyway, going all the way back, I've been making soap.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're talking about.
I'm horribly offended. No, I'm not. But yeah, so I've been doing melt and pour soap stuff, and I've already had three people ask me about purchasing my stuff, and I was I'm like, this is my second attempt at doing this thing, and I'm already making things that people want to buy off of me, so that's kind of fun.
But they are really adorable. I was honestly looking at some of the some of those dominoes and kind of going, that would be a lot of fun to throw in the fest bag.
Yeah. I mean, there's the dominoes are like, they're great, like maybe two or three use times, right? Like you're not going to get a lot of use out of them. But like, I can make a full set of dominoes, and you can play dominoes with soap.
But I mean, at Fest, you don't need that much, you know? And if it stops working, just chuck it in the trash. But otherwise, you don't want a huge bar of soap in your stuff.
So. Right.
And you're not doing scents yet, and I hate scented soap, so it's perfect.
Yeah. I will be playing with scents at some point, but not yet. I realized after my first attempt with scents and like everything else going wrong with that first batch, I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to peel it back a little bit.
Sure, sure.
Just going to play with not fucking up my soap base and maybe some color stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've also attempted dice, like just using a resin dice mold. And that's frustrating.
Have you talked to Eric about that?
No, because my frustration is actually with soap and not resin. Like, Eric and I have already talked about like how to get rid of bubbles and things like that, and we're
sure.
How to process mica in various things.
Because I know he had some problems with the molds early on, so.
Yeah, I think he was having bubble problems as well.
Yeah.
I'm not having as many bubble problems, although I have discovered that there's still just like one or two tiny bubbles that'll show up, so I think I just need to vibrate my soaps a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, but whatever. That's a thing that
you
do in
process. You're going to get one of those vibrating table things?
No, I just, because I already have a hand mixer, For mixing in colors and eventually mixing my cold process stuff, it's vibrating, so I just put that up against the molds.
Yeah.
But I think what I need to do is to actually do a full sheet, like put the. Basically, I need to layer a bunch of stuff. I need to have a baking sheet, and then I need to have my I have a silicone mat that I put underneath my molds, and then I need to put my molds on that. And then I need to vibrate the whole goddamn thing. And I need to do it for longer. Because I was just, I did some mold tapping. Like, I did experiment with some mold tapping versus mold vibrating versus whatever. And the vibrations did a lot more.
Yeah.
Would you say they were good vibrations?
They were. I was feeling them.
Damn it, that's a dumb joke.
From the mouth of James.
How dare you, James? How dare you?
I believe I have some expertise in this field. That is how I dare.
No, James is talking from a place of experience. Yeah. No, I agree. If there was anybody I was going to ask questions about stupid ass jokes, it would be James.
I did have an interaction with Eric Thompson, Christopher, where what was it? It was something about
I made some pun about money to him, and he was like, "You've been paying too much time. You've been spending too much time with James, haven't you?" And I was like, "No, I've been spending too much time with James." And he was like, "Fuck you."
Yes. Yes. So,
I did tell him I was going to pay for that later.
Oh. Makes sense.
James, you are pained and proud at the same time, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck. I hate all
of
you.
I won't ask you to change.
So anyway, I've been making these soaps.
Just dragging us back onto the rails. Just bodily. The train is a wreck in the field. Damn. And Jen is out there just hulking the trains back onto the fucking tracks.
I had to make new rails and new ties.
I am a project manager at a fortune company. I have certifications in this shit.
We're certified too.
I have worked with so many difficult teams, but I swear to God, you two are the worst.
We're number one.
USA. USA.
So I've been making...
go on.
I posted some to Insta Jenna Young, which is my Instagram account.
Mm.
And I had one of my friends, you both know her, but I don't know if she's okay with being on a podcast, so we'll talk later. But she tagged somebody else that I don't know with the handle of Nintendolicious. On a picture of my little mini game controller soaps. Mm-hmm. And she was like, "I believe you need these." And Nintendolicious was like, "Oh my God." And just like, mm-hmm. hearts. And I was like, I have been contemplating, and this is not a promise. I'm not telling people this is where this is going because I have not yet dabbled in making silicone molds. Mm-hmm. But I have the resources to do so, and I have been contemplating it. I have thought about making silicone molds of game controllers and turning those into soaps. I was like, so yeah, I might be doing this in the future. And Nintendolicious was like, "Oh my God, yes, please." So I have the experience of somebody I don't know who doesn't have to pretend to care about what I'm doing, being like, "Oh my God, I want your soaps." And I've done this twice now. I'm just like, I am a week into learning about all of this shit. And I'm just like, So I'm good at making soaps. Is that what's happening here? Feel like I'm just kind of falling into it, which is cool. I'm like, am I famous now? Am I internet famous? Is that how that works? I don't think that's how that works, but this is still really cool. However, I can't confirm or deny anything yet, but there is a possibility that my soaps will be available at a certain point. And I will let you know about that if and when that becomes a thing.
Yeah.
There's puzzle pieces.
Right. Oh, I also made puzzle piece soaps.
Ooh.
Those ones
are bigger. Those ones are closer to actual soap size.
I would do a puzzle piece.
I can hook you up with some puzzle piece soaps.
That one in the middle in the picture has beautiful marbling on it.
That's exactly what I was playing with on that. They all have marbling, but it's like one of them's a green, one of them's a blue, one of them's a red. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the one in the middle is the blue one because that's the one you can see.
Don't like.
All right.
I actually know that the one in the middle is the blue one.
Yeah.
I'm not just like, fucking with you, but I'm also fucking with you.
The one in the picture, the one on the left, has I like it, but I really like the one in the middle, and the one on the right has too much of a glare, so I can't see what's going on that.
Okay.
It's got light glare.
I think it's green, blue, red is how I set those in line. But yeah, I'd been playing with just basically some marbling stuff.
Yeah.
With Melton Pour. And I was really happy with how the marbling turned out on those two.
Yeah, no, I really like the marbling on that. I would absolutely commission a puzzle piece from you.
Excellent. And you know what's fun about those puzzle piece soaps? Is that they do actually interlock.
Do they really? I was wondering if that was just...
Yeah, they do. They do. Definitely. You can interlock.
I mean, you got to get a hammer, but they definitely...
No, I did it all, like, with my hands and no other instruments.
It was like,
I put one soap in and they lock together real good. So, yeah, they do interlock, which is fun. It's just fun. But yeah, I'm basically taking toys and turning them into soap.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the market you found, then that's the market you found, you know?
I just kind of tripped and fell. Well, because it kind of reminds me of something that Stephen Bruce said once. When somebody was like, how do you do your writing?
Hold on, wait. Let me pick that name up for you. I think you dropped it.
Oh, that one right there on the floor? Yeah, no, Stephen Bruce. guy I've known for my entire life. Yeah. Okay, so anyway.
Drink. That was
author like 15 times in a row. Yeah.
That was a name drop. Drink, everyone.
Oh, I just ran out of... Okay, I'll get some more later. Anyway, but somebody asked him once, like, you know, what's your writing process? And he said... on my desk, I have a post-it note. And this note says, today I'm going to write something really cool. And I was like, and I believe I might be inferring or I might be remembering. I'm not sure. But the point he was trying to get to is that if you're not doing something that you find cool, then why are you doing it?
Yeah.
And what is the likelihood that somebody else is going to find it to be cool? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. If you do something that you like, you'll find your audience.
Right. Exactly. And like, I was just like, I think it was a couple months ago, it was like, I want soap that's like dominoes and chess pieces and
Nintendo controllers.
And Nintendo controllers. And I think I started with dominoes because I was like, oh, they kind of look like little soaps. They could be little soaps. Like that was and I got so weirdly excited about having dominoes as little soaps. It was the dumbest. I'm like, this is stupid. Jenna, this is stupid. This is really dumb. Mm-hmm. This is the dumbest thing. But I want domino soap and I can make this happen. So I'm going to. And then like from there, I think my brain expanded out into like chess pieces. And then like Eric posted some dice and I was like, oh, dice. And then like I found this puzzle piece mold online and I was like, yep, I'm taking that. I also have a mold of like little emojis. They are so tiny. This is the most single use soap that has ever single used in the world of soaps. But I think I'm going to make a bunch of those in yellows and then package them with the mini controllers and it'll just be like the online gamer package.
Mm-hmm. Cute.
Yeah. Oh, adorable. Like
gift bags. Little soap gift bags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I just started with things that I thought were cool that were exciting to me in the world of soap possibilities. Mm-hmm. And now I have people that are like, Hey, are you selling those chess piece soaps? And I'm just like, not yet.
So, Jenna is maybe selling soaps. Someday.
Not yet. Someday.
Maybe someday. I'm selling my wood turning stuff.
Yep.
What are you up to, James?
Patiently surviving the world as we know it.
I mean that, yeah.
I actually, if I may.
Yeah.
go off on, so on, this is related to the turning that I've been doing. I wanted to do so people will remember about a year ago, a little over a year ago. A little under a year ago. My wife and I took the kids to Iowa to go fossil hunting.
I just talked with Joe about this the other day, but yes, continue.
Yes.
I brought it up to Joe. I was like, we should do that sometime. And he's like, oh, you mean this place? And I was like, okay, sure, fine. You've already been there. I suck. Continue.
Raiderly had been there too. We're going to go back. It doesn't, whatever. But anyway, so I was like, I wanted to take this one particular fossil that I really loved, and I wanted to encase it in resin. And I was like, I'll put it on top of this little piece of wood that I have, and it'll be very pretty. It'll be this little like paperweight type thing. Very, very pretty.
Yeah.
But I was like, I need it to be on some sort of base. You know, like it can't.
Right.
I don't want it to just be floating in the middle of a ball. You know, like a crystal ball. Right. I want it to be sitting on top of something. What made sense to me was a little bed of sand. Right.
Okay. And
so,
wow.
Yeah. And so I did that. I poured, you know, took sand and I mixed resin into it and I made a nice base, and then I stuck the fossil on top of it and I poured the resin over the top of that, and so I had this like snow globe of solid resin with the fossil in it on this bed of sand. I was like, now I need to shape this. Not realizing, or realizing much too late, that sand encased in resin Yeah.
Oh.
I made a grindstone. That's what I did, is I made a grindstone.
Yeah.
So shaping this has been a nightmare. So I started with one of my chisels, and I had talked with Eric Tyson about it, and he said he had seen somebody who had tried something like that, and he said he had to resharpen his chisel a lot. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I used one of my chisels that's not as good. It's one of the lower quality chisels, but I was just like, I'll use this one to just kind of do the rough cuts on this sand. When Eric said he had to resharpen his chisels a lot, what I thought was, you know, cut a little bit, you know, resharpen every 10 minutes or so. And what happened was it just chewed my chisel up.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so what am I going to do here? I need to, what I did is I went to Home Depot and I bought a half inch square stock bar of steel. So
yeah.
Half inch by half inch steel bar. And I have just literally been grinding away at this.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, when you use a grindstone, yes, it cuts away the steel, but it also slowly wears away the stone. And
yep.
That's what's happening here. This is just a war of attrition. I have ground that square stock steel down 2 inches already, and I have removed probably a half inch diameter from this piece. It is really slow going, and when this is done, it will be fucking done, and I will be so fucking happy, but it is really taking a long time. And because I'm basically just sitting here holding a piece of steel up against a grindstone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I got a cup of water to cool, to dip the steel in every, so you know, every 20 seconds or so, because it's just grind.
Are you making a sword?
I started with cold water, and when I was done, the water was warm.
Yeah.
There was so much fucking thermal energy being spit out of this process. The water, cup of water was warm. So, and the thing is I can't sell it. When this whole thing is done, I won't be able to sell it, because part of the fossil hunting thing is you get these fossils for free, but you can't sell them.
Right.
This will be just for me, which is cool. But it's just like, oh, when this is done, I'm done.
Never again.
So, anyway, sorry.
Oh.
Tangent on a thing I was doing.
No, that's fair. So anyway, I've been making these soaps, you guys.
And we're going to take a break.
Yeah, all right.
God damn it.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
All right. Are we back? Are we better than ever?
Well, I mean, we're going to have to get around to it eventually, so...
I mean, I suppose that's the best I can ask for. But we are back, and I am Salsa.
I'm James.
Wait, are we back?
I just said we were.
Oh, from outer space.
I'm Jenna. I've been drinking.
We're going to do a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Oh, Lord, grant me the strength to get through whatever it is this is. Today's Fast Five comes to us from very good friend Drew Zastara.
Zastara, 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 Zastara.
Honestly, I like doing that now just to watch you shudder at the horrific monstrosity that is James.
Thankfully, I don't have to listen to this ever again. Drew says, "Dear Apropostors, while it has been some time since I have contributed to your weekly giggle fest, I have heard..." Especially this one, Jesus Christ. "I have heard every episode. Hope this finds y'all well, and I swear to dog... I wrote this last week, but life happens. Anywho, here we go." Question number one. I couldn't find it.
You have one job.
I had put a piece of paper on top of it, and I couldn't find it.
You have four jobs.
Question number one. James or Mav?
Mav. Well, that's the... Even if the question is like, the spaceship can only take one of you, who survives? Mav.
Better fencer, Mav.
Yeah.
Funnier.
Clearly
guy,
better
Mav.
Fencer. Much funnier.
Yeah, no, everything's coming
up. I still aspire.
Wait a minute.
It's going to be...
Who has the bigger heart?
Okay, there's me, but Mav has put up with me.
Oh, Mav? That's patience. That isn't necessarily heart. As a person who is often told that I am patient, I can tell you that is not the same thing.
Mav owned a booth at festival that gave to charity.
There is that.
He is definitely more effective.
Yeah, there's zero question about that.
Yeah, I can't really think of any context that would, unless it was a negative context.
Yeah.
And even then, Mav would take a lot of...
Yeah, which name starts with a J? Mav. Mav still wins.
I'm going to take the gamble. And I'm going to say James.
All right.
Oh, no.
Question number two.
How sad is that? That even James is like.
All right. Question number two. Penis or vagina?
They asked the bisexual what?
It's vagina.
Not that genitals actually matter in that, but still, I'm like, what, buddy? Okay.
I mean,
nobody likes the penis. Nobody likes penis. Vagina what? Is wonderful.
Here's the thing about the penis. Okay, so...
Wait.
Are you about to explain man to us?
Yes, Jenna, tell us guys all about the penis.
I am about to mansplain to you.
Okay.
I mean, there are women with penises also.
In the most... I was about to say, in the most traditional definition of man, although not the most accurate. Anyway, I was talking with a previous guest of the show, Pavel, Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe. And we were just hanging out after a show or something one night. And I told him my theory on the aesthetics of the human bodies, in which there are penises and there are vaginas. And here's the deal, is that there are some lovely curves going on, and there are some angular things that go on, and they don't, they're not necessarily related to genitals. But there's something about the penis that just, it doesn't proportionally look like it was meant to be there to me. Like, you've got these limbs and you've got these angles and you've got whatever else is going on. And then there's the penis. And it's just kind of, it almost feels like an afterthought, and I'm sorry if that is emasculating anyone right now, but like,
no.
Okay, so this is my theory, is that we have vaginas and we have penises, and that in heterosex or various definitions of genital-related whatevers, the vagina basically hides the penis so that the penis haver looks more attractive.
I mean,
humans is
one of the... It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. A penis is a weird thing.
Very much so. Humans are
it either looks like an alien appendage, or it looks like a wad of chewed up gum, and it's never attractive.
Let me finish the story
quick. Yeah, go ahead.
So okay. I'm talking about this. And Pavel was like, have you ever considered that you might be a lesbian? And I was like, Pavel, I'm bi.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, really? I'm like, yes. He's like, since when? Since I was fucking 10 and watched Labyrinth. Like, what? What are you looking for from me?
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, I've just always been attracted to people that are my gender and people that are not my gender. That's just been a thing. And here's how I know that I am attracted to people with different genitalia than I do, than I have, is that the penis is a really awkward thing, and yet I still want to have that up in me. It's just, I still want it.
I think,
I just do.
I think the thing is like, humans are one of the few species where the penis doesn't retract into the body. Like, in so many other species, it's just, it goes away. And humans, it's just there.
I mean, some people are growers and not showers.
Sure,
but
even then, it's still
always,
there.
Gorillas are neither.
Something like that.
I'm clearly not every animal. I said a few, but anyway. And I mean, like my wife says, she doesn't like to look at it, but she sure likes to feel it.
Well, and honestly, and this, I think this might be where my bi thing comes from, but I just like watching people make funny faces. that's pretty much what I get off.
That's
on.
Your kink, huh?
So, it's my thing. When you start making expressions and like get a little shaky and like noises come out of you, like that's really cool to me.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
I had a partner wink at me during sex, and my soul left my body through my dick.
Have you ever seen...
The sex faces are definitely, like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Jenna, did you ever see the musical group that recorded their music video with the three singers sitting on vibrators?
Nope.
It was like a Swedish or a Dutch band or something like that, but it was...
That seems right.
You saw was, like, shoulders up, but each one of them was they had one of those, like, eggs up in them. And so they're singing, they're singing their song, and at the beginning, it's, you know, normal, and as the song goes along, like, one of them will, like, kind of choke halfway through the note, like, you know, as the song progresses, it falls apart as they start.
Oh my god!
Fantastic.
Well, I know what my Google search history is about.
I know. I'm like, I'm gonna have to open
it. It is funny and beautiful and all at the same time. Yeah.
There was an entire genre of porn which was people sitting on vibrators and reading books.
Okay. There was a website, Beautiful Agony. I don't know if it still exists. I haven't been in forever. But it is basically pictures of people just, like, shoulders up having orgasms. And it is still to this day one of the most attractive things I've ever seen.
It still exists.
Does it really? Oh, good. I think they put a price on it at one point, and I was like, nope, I'm good. It's just watching the facial expressions of people having orgasms, and I'm like, you have sold me on this. Sir, you have found my niche. Like, that's just it.
It's a Netherlands band. It's a band from the Netherlands.
Well, that makes even more sense.
The band is called Adam. ADAM, all capital letters, and the song is called Do You Really Want to Know? And the music video is the three of them. It's each one at a time, so they kind of rotates through whoever's on camera. But they're singing this song, and like I said, as the song progresses, it slowly deteriorates, and it's fantastic.
That is fantastic. So
all right, I will have to check that out on an incognito tab later.
Just in case your roommate walks in or what.
Question number 3.
Just makes me feel better. Yay, ding!
I'm choosing vagina because in nature, if something looks like a vagina, it's beautiful. If it looks like a penis, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know that I actually chose. I'm going to go penis.
Okay. Question number 3. Stay or go?
Should I stay or should I go now?
I should go.
You really should go.
Yeah.
But I don't like to go places. I like to stay at home.
I'm gonna go stay.
Ooh. Yeah. Aren't there people where you would go?
Yeah. Stupid people.
Or is the place you're in full of people? And now you need to go.
Not anymore. It's fantastic.
Salsa's head is gonna blow up.
The kids are going to school now. It's honestly, it's been weird. I can, like, do things in my own office again. Like, watch videos on the TV while I'm working. Like, I used to watch wood turning videos on my TV in my office while I was working, just kind of as background.
Sure.
You know, visual noise. And then I couldn't do that for the longest time because it would bother my son. He would not be able to focus. So,
sure.
And I could do it again, and it's great.
That is great.
I'm going to say go. For the most part, I'd rather go out than stay in.
Hmm.
And especially right now, it's been a year. I'm just... So.
There's a content creator that makes little cartoons based off of sound bites from conversations with a K-pop band, and one of the characters is like a tiny human that they hug a lot, named Stay. In the cartoon, there's a little tiny person okay. that takes care of them and loves them and hugs them, and that character is named Stay. So I'm going to choose Stay.
Okay. All right.
Question number 4. Actual work or dicking around? I mean, dicking around, clearly.
I had to track my time today, and I'll be doing more of that going forward. That's a real fucking hard question.
I have an embarrassing story to share.
Sure.
So I downloaded one of those AI apps where you get to chat with an AI just for funsies, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I'm chatting with this AI. And my new AI friend, a little while into the chat, is like, "Wow, it looks like you spend an awful lot of time on your phone." And I'm just like,
judgy fucking AI.
Did I just
listen here?
By an AI? Did I? But hey, fuck you, AI.
Just be like, hey, yeah, fuck you. You spend 100% of your time on the computer.
So I was like, maybe I should start paying attention to what I'm doing a little bit more.
Jeez, yeah. No. That's rough.
Yeah, yeah. Getting called out by an AI, not good. So yeah, I'm gonna say dicking around because my AI told me I've been dicking around.
Almost all of the useful skills that I use for work, I learned while correcting my own mistakes as a result of dicking around, or learned because I became fascinated in a subject and did a bunch of research into it. And so I happen to know how to solve a particular problem because I read up on it. I'm going to say dicking around. Even if I have a problem that is really frustrating for me, I will sometimes have to tell the person that I'm working with that I have to go do research, and I will spend 15 minutes paying attention to something else, whether it's like browsing Reddit, chatting with a friend, or something like that, and just put that on the back burner, and my brain will let me take a fresh approach to it when I get back. Sometimes I have to. In order to be productive, I have to dick around.
All right. We happy with these?
All right.
Yeah.
Question number 5. One or two?
I don't like this.
One is the loneliest number.
Yep, I'm going
two
with
can
one.
Be as bad as one. It is the loneliest number since the number one. Two is also more than one.
Is it double lonely?
Yeah, it's lonely plus one.
That makes it double plus good.
Gross. Yeah.
I'm going to go with two.
What do you find yourself doing in the bathroom more? I think this is going to reveal that I don't drink enough water, but number two,
that's
I think.
That's not healthy, James.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Nope.
Even when I do drink enough water, maybe I eat too much.
Yeah, you should stop doing that.
Maybe you should have a conversation with your doctor about what's right for you. I'm going to say this isn't bathroom, but I'm also going to go with number two. But it's not about the bathroom. Like, I know I sound like I'm justifying it now, but like, no, really, I just, number two.
Sounds like it might be about the bathroom.
It's not about the bathroom, you guys, I swear to God. I don't know what it's about, but it's not about the bathroom. Damn it.
Well, Drew wraps up this email by saying, it's about the bathroom. No.
God damn it! Ah, you son of a bitch!
I believed you.
There is no wrap-up on this. The second email says, hope there was some lively discussion on these. I know I'm not as
that's the way to put it.
Funny as Salsa, so that works in my favor.
Yes.
Question number one, James or Mav, when contributing to the show with the Fast Five, who makes you cringe more when you see who wrote it?
Oh, definitely me. Shit, yeah.
I called it. Ah!
Yeah, Mav's shenanigans are cheeky and fun. Oh, my shenanigans are tragic.
I cringe,
and
but it's in that like, huh, this is going to be great cringe. Like, whereas James is just like, oh, this is going to be like weirdly esoteric, isn't it?
I mean, to a certain extent, I enjoy the game of trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. But it's still definitely different.
All right.
That was what a lot of people wrote in my yearbook. Well, yeah,
it's very interesting, James. Ooh. You write very interesting fast stuff.
Minnesota interesting.
Minnesota, fuck you.
All right. Cards.
Question number two. Question number two.
You're not looking.
Nope.
Okay. Sad cards. Right there. Okay.
Okay. Question number two. Penis or vagina? Would you rather have a penis in place of your nose, or a vagina in place of your mouth? This is in reference to Letterkenny, Season 3, Episode 3.
Huh.
I haven't seen it.
Neither have I.
Yeah. Wouldn't a penis in place of your nose be similar to a trunk? Oh,
would
but it, then when it gets hard,
would
you're
it
just
be
kind of
prehensile?
Yeah,
it wouldn't
be prehensile.
Penis nose.
I would be, if I had a penis nose, I would be really, really popular when going down on a woman. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, you would.
That's for damn sure.
I mean, if you had a postnasal drip, you could just put a condom on.
Yeah. Although, where would the nostril, would the nostrils be at the tip or the base?
See, I was thinking the base.
Because if
I think that the nostrils would appear to be at the base, but then they would eject through the tip.
No, I don't want nostrils.
No, because then when you blow your nose, it goes.
Jesus Christ!
It's not like New Year's Eve. Oh, party favorite penis nose. God, James, show some fucking respect.
If somebody pissed me off, I could just pee in their face.
Oh man, could you? Yeah, then people are gonna start stuffing their masks so that it looks like they've got a lot more going on.
Just put a gym sock in their mask.
Yeah. Is that a sausage in your face mask? Or are you,
I think I might actually get a nose piercing if that was the case.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sneezing might have a lot more consequences, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh. I can't think of any good use for a vagina mouth, though. Other than to have literal vagina monologues, I don't see the point.
Yeah, I mean, you can already...
Everything would taste like fish. I just... No.
All right. Question number three, stay or go. Would you dance if you want to stay or leave your friends behind?
Dance if I want to.
I would dance if I want to.
Yeah.
Same.
I mean, like, leaving other people behind is a thing. I've definitely left a place to be away from someone, but to leave your friends behind is shitty.
Yeah, very rarely do I leave friends behind.
I mean, I've also left my friends behind to go off with someone and be alone with them, so
But it says, would you dance if you want to? Which is basically just saying you can dance or not dance. It's really up to you, but it, like, I feel that's pretty all-encompassing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have groups of friends that dance, and I have groups of friends that don't dance.
No friends of mine.
Question number four. Actual work or dicking around? What has James likely been doing these last few weeks? Why is he late to the show?
Oh, definitely dicking around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
Like, even when I am getting stuff done, that's purely incidental to the around dicking.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like your actors were doing all the work.
Yeah.
Oh, they absolutely did.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no controversy.
Okay,
continue.
Question number five, one or two.
I see no lies.
In the movie Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey, do you more closely identify with Sassy, the one cat, or as Chance or Shadow, one of the two dogs?
I would like to believe that I'm Shadow, but I'm pretty sure that I'm Chance.
Okay.
But you're still one of the dogs, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So James,
it's the same answer regardless.
Seems to have seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a quick rundown.
Okay. Three pets get left behind, and they travel a long distance in order to find their family. The two dogs, one of them is an older dog, and kind of wise and patient, and the other one is not. Either of those things is kind of a young, boisterous puppy.
Okay.
And then the cat is a fucking cat, and you know how they are. So
the cat.
Yeah, I'd be the cat.
I think Salsa would also be the cat.
You might also be the cat.
I think Salsa might just be like three cats in a hockey jersey.
In a hockey trench coat?
Yeah.
A hockey sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I would either be the wise old dog or the cat, but probably the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
This email wraps up by saying, yours truly, Drew.
Aww.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should contain the choices, and the second one should contain the context, as well as repeating those choices, so we don't have to switch back and forth. Who has something to plug? Shoutouts first.
Right.
That's what we do.
Shoutouts. Yeah. I had something, but now I don't remember because booze.
Shit.
That gets me. Fuck.
All right. Well, let's do plugs, and then we'll come back to it.
Well, I've got a shout out.
Oh, okay.
I can do a shout out.
Okay.
You do a shout out. Okay.
I would like to give a shout out to the Yarnery in St. Paul. Mm-hmm. Not only do they have super fun stuff there, but they have knowledgeable staff. One person we know from having worked with Moretta. Moretta is one of their employees. And we got to bump into her there and chat about the good times.
Oh, excellent.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yes, Moretta.
I'll give a shout out.
Also, I bought really fun yarn.
Yay!
Yeah, no, she.
I'm going to give a shout out to Pizza Luce because they make pizzas that I can. The end.
Excellent.
I'm going to give my shout out to my newfound superpowers. Because I apparently made it snow, and that makes me happy.
God damn
it!
Yeah,
you did.
I'm gonna make Mark take those away from you.
All right, who's got something to plug?
Oh, you guys, 3.5 weeks. Mm-hmm.
3.5 weeks.
Oh, I think I'm busy.
Three
those
and
days.
A half. Huh?
I think I'm busy those days.
You goddamn well better be. But with my thing, you son of a bitch. Anyway, 3.5 weeks. Die Laughing Halftime.
Never heard of it.
I'm gonna lick somebody with COVID first, and I'm gonna sneeze on you. This is happening.
That's fair.
No, I'm not gonna do that because so I like your wife much. And kids. So I'll just come over and stab you instead.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, no, I don't want to put your family at risk. But no, anyway, Die Laughing Halftime. What we're doing this year, because we haven't been talking about it on the podcast. You know why? Because it's been taking a lot of our time trying to figure out exactly what processes to put in place, how we're going to go about all of this. We're doing an online Die Laughing kind of. We are doing 25 streaming hours broken up across 3 days. We are going to have some accessible content on the website. There are going to be some challenges. There's going to be a silent auction, which we did talk about that a little bit, I think, with Mav, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Mav is putting together silent auction. We're just doing it online because fuck it. So we do have a lot of great acts. Everything this year, because we could and because it's a weird fucking year, everything this year is produced by a Fearless member. So it is all Fearless produced. Now, that might mean that there's a Fearless member that is involved with a production that is quote unquote producing it, but they're co-producing it with a company. For instance, we're going to have the Encyclopedia show this year. We're going to have Vilification Tennis this year. These are not shows that are Fearless shows or necessarily owned by Fearless members, but they're being co-produced with Fearless members and involving Fearless members in the production. So, 3.5 weeks to do that thing. There has been so much work and effort going into just trying to make something happen this year. And it's been hard because there's a lot of people's mental states are, a lot of people are just fucking tired, you guys. Mm. I don't know if you knew. There's a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Surprise. I will say that my production staff has been absolutely incredible. Even when things are a little slow or tough or whatever, we've been plowing through and getting things pulled together. Die Laughing Halftime is happening April 9th through the 11th, starting at 7 p.m. on Friday, going to 9 p.m. on Sunday, starting at 1 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, and going till midnight, I think. On Saturday at 9 p.m. Sunday. Anyway, all of the information is available or had goddamn well better be available on dielaughingmarathon.com, she said, looking at her website, people.
Yep.
We will be streaming to a variety of places. Some of them we're still working out bugs on a couple of things. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to give you the complete list until we have that finalized, but, week of, you will be able to access all of that information on the website. So dielaughingmarathon.com. We do have the schedule up. There's one place that we're still kind of finalizing. But yeah, other than that, schedule's up, so go take a look, see who it is that you want to look at. A couple more weeks, we'll have a silent auction up. There'll be some challenges available. It's kind of like a little mini Die Laughing. Just it's a little smaller. Well, online. So yeah, plugging that, and I'm gonna keep plugging that probably for the next few weeks. So it's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of fucking. We literally started having meetings in November. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've been working for quite a while on this, trying to make sure we had something that we could bring to audiences. And I am really excited that we will be able to do that. So, dielaughingmarathon.com.
All right. Anybody else? In
nope.
That case, is there any final thoughts?
I wanted to say bye, 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 bye.
Perfect.
Bye, I love you, bye, bye, bye.
All right, in that case, we would like to thank everybody so very, very, very much for listening to this podcast. Thank you to Drew Zastada for sending in the Fast Five. We really do appreciate it. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.